He has risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes. Join me as we pray. Father, we thank you that you have loved us with an immense love, that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are alive, that you've defeated death and sin, and you are the victorious one. We ask now in these next few moments that you would lead us and guide us and teach us, Holy Spirit. Commit this time to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a special day where almost everywhere in the world we celebrate our victorious Savior risen. Some parts of the world are on a different calendar. That's what I meant. So the next week they'll be celebrating. But already today I got greetings from some of us know some people in Berlin, sent some greetings, some people in Poland, our Ukrainian brothers and sisters who actually celebrate next week, sent a special video. They're celebrating with us this great victory, this event that changes everything. It really does. It changes everything. Christ has risen. It changes everything. You have your Bibles and you want to follow along, or if you want to follow up on the screen, we're going to read this morning in a few places, but we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 11. It says this: "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is undoubtedly an actual historical event that happened. Christ physically rose from the dead. He is alive. But if Christ had only died and had never risen, there would be no point. We would have no hope in this life, no hope in the life to come, if it was just death that He died on the cross. But He did not just die, but He rose from the dead. The Scriptures are a story that tells us of a perfect world that was created by a perfect God. Creation, it starts with that God created this perfect world and He put humans in this world. Very quickly, sin entered the world. Man and woman made a choice, and they chose to rebel against God. They sinned. And because of that sin, darkness, evil, brokenness came into the world. It affected mankind. It infected all of creation. But very quickly, God stepped in and confronted Satan. And He gave a promise. One day a rescuer would come. You will not get the final word. I will send a rescuer, and he will crush you and defeat you. And one day, that rescuer came. God left His throne in heaven and came into our world. Jesus came to crush and defeat death. The Bible is also a story that one day all will be made new because of what Christ has done. That we'll have a new heavens and a new earth. There will be no more brokenness, no more pain. This is a really good and a really real story. You know, earlier this week, historically, Christ died. He was crucified. He laid down His life for us. Death is always a horrible thing. It's never a happy moment. As I was thinking this week, I was reminded of way back to when I was a little kid, when my first experience with death, when my closest friend died, the one that I was closest to. And it's still hard, because death is hard. You never expect it, you never desire it. And in that moment, my world was shattered, my joy was gone. I was reminded also a few years ago, when the pandemic was going on, it was such a hard time, and I was overseas at the time, and I remember towards the end of that time, I was sitting outside a coffee shop at a table, and I was meeting with a close friend of ours who was part of our church. He was an upcoming leader, and I was speaking into his life and enjoying his company after lockdown and all this stuff, and he was sharing hopes and dreams. And then we said goodbye. And I remember the last thing I remember about him, about Radu, was I remember him seeing, stop, as I sat there looking over, I saw him stop and talk to a little boy who was begging on the street and show compassion and care. Then he walked off. And just a few days later on Sunday, I got a call from his dad and said, David, Radu is with the Lord. What? Why, Lord? We've all had those types of moments. But you know, the great joy that I have is that one day I will see Radu. One day I will embrace Radu because of what we're celebrating today. Because Jesus is alive. We've all had those moments when death and darkness are overwhelming. Imagine for those disciples, their closest friend for those 3+ years has died. God was dead. All hope, all joy was gone. The psalmist says in Psalm 30, verse 4 and 5, says, sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name, for His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. It's really hard sometimes in those dark hours when we experience death to do that first part. Sing praises to the Lord. Give thanks to His holy name. For what? There's no good from this that we see. I think the disciples wrestled with that. But we know the end of the story. We get to see what they didn't see, what they did eventually see, that His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. The wrath of God was poured out upon His Son, Jesus Christ. His anger for a moment. But His favor is for a lifetime. Because He is sitting on His throne, ruling and reigning. He is very much alive. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. That word, but joy. It's not the end of the story. Something is going to happen. Joy is coming. Joy comes in the morning. But for how long and when does that joy come? So those disciples were wrestling, what is happening? Because for those disciples, those are some dark days, dark hours, when their hope was in the ground, in a grave. Sure didn't seem like anything was good was going to come from this disaster. But we know the end of the story. So let's jump ahead and see what they saw and celebrate what they celebrated. And for that, we look at the heart of the gospel, which is the good news, that the gospel is that God Himself came to save and to rescue creation in and through the work of Jesus Christ for us. Further on, a passage in 1 Corinthians 15 in verses 54 and 57, we said them out loud together, says this: death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I think there's a little bit of a mocking tone the writer's saying when he says that. Oh death, come on, where is your victory? And the reply is, the power of sin is the law. Well, checkmate. Because do you know what? God has fulfilled the law. None of us could keep the law. We've all broken it. But God came sinless, perfect, and He fulfilled the law. So there is no more victory in death. O death, where is your sting? Well, the reply in this passage is, the sting of death is sin. Well, again, checkmate. That's true. Sin brings death. But Christ became sin so that we could become righteous. We could become right before God. There's no more sting in death for His children. Then he says, but thanks be to God. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is swallowed up in victory. Joy comes in the morning. Because Jesus won, we win. Because Jesus won, we win. I was reminded of that story in the Old Testament that we all know so well. We learn it from a little children. If you come to church as a child, the story of David and Goliath. David goes out and he fights the giant. He slays the giant. And what happened? David's victory was Israel's victory. Because David won that day, all Israel won. You and I cannot go out and fight Goliath. That's ridiculous. You'll die. You and I cannot defeat death and sin. You will die. But one went out and faced the greatest Goliath, sin and death, and that was Jesus. And he looked it straight in the eye. And he died, the death you and I should have died. But then he rose from the dead, rising as none of us could. His victory has become our victory. Ephesians chapter 2, I love this passage. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Listen to this truth. And you, all of us, were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But God, being rich in mercy, He lavished His mercy upon us. He loved us so much that He died and He rose. Timothy Keller puts it well when he says, reminds us that the gospel is news not just about what God has done in history to save us. So the gospel is news about what God has done in history to save us, rather than advice about what we must do to reach God. You see, the gospel is news, really good news, that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in history have achieved our salvation. We do not achieve it. We only accept it. Jesus does not just bring good news, He is the good news. He is the good news. Joy came in the morning. The disciples experienced that joy. Jesus did rise, and He is alive, and He does live in us that have put our faith and trust in Him. He is alive, and He is well, and He is ruling and reigning. And you and I are called to live in and experience His life every day. We are called to celebrate every day. Because He lives, I live. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has changed everything. It is good news. Not just for the future, but for now. C.S. Lewis, in his book Miracles, he says this. He says, the New Testament writers speak as if Christ's achievement in rising from the dead was the first event of its kind in the whole history of the universe. He is the first fruits, the pioneer of life. He has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the King of Death. Everything is different because He has done so. Everything's different. Because the King of Death has been defeated by the King of Life. Christ has met, fought, and beaten Satan, our greatest enemy. So what does all this mean? What does the resurrection of Christ mean? What is the significance for us today? I want you to remember this, that the core message of the gospel is that Jesus Christ, one, He lived, He died, and He rose again for sinners, you and me. And secondly, God will save you if you turn and trust Jesus. That's the core message of the gospel. That's the good news. That's the hope that we have, because Jesus rose from the dead. I want us to remember this morning the love of God. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." God cannot love you any more than He already has. He's given everything. He's held nothing back. He gave His only Son to die for you, for me. There is an extreme love in the heart of God for you. But also, I want us to remember the sin that dwells in each of us, the sinfulness of our hearts. You and I are a lot worse than we think. Sorry. Not really. It's just reality. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned, me, you, everyone has sinned, and we've fallen short of the glory of God, the standard of God, the holiness of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin has infected all of our beings because of the choice that Adam and Eve made. It's infected all of mankind. Third, think about the grace, the kindness, the grace of a crucified and resurrected Christ. Jesus died and He rose. 1 Corinthians 15, again, verses 20 and 22 this time says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive." There's a grace found in our crucified and resurrected Christ. Because of what Christ did, His rising from the dead, you and I can be made alive forever, truly alive. Fourth, There's an urgency to this message, this good news. There's an urgency. The gospel demands a response. It's not neutral. It demands a response. You reject it or you accept it. It demands a response of repentance and faith. The glorious power of the living Christ is good news that can change you, radically change you. We have to respond. We bow our knee to this King, or we reject this King. We choose life, or we choose death. Christ is calling all of us in this room today to Himself, to enter into life. And finally, there's a purpose to the resurrection. There's a purpose to all of this. Jesus died because you would, but your death would be eternal. Jesus rose because you couldn't, and Jesus lives so that you can. He's come to rescue, and He's come to restore us. He's come to rescue us. He's come to restore us. Jared Wilson put it well when he was talking about the essential mustard seed of the gospel. He says that it's the incredible historical event of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And this good news is really good news because you and I are sinners under God's wrath and will die under the penalty of that wrath, destined for hell without this divine intervention. So what is the good news? Again, from a different angle a little bit. It's the news that Jesus died for sins on the cross and resurrected for eternal life out of the tomb. And this news is really good because it means that if you will confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that this good news is true news, you will be saved into a secure relationship with God Himself. He's rescued us, and He's redeeming us, and He's restoring us from our sin and from the reality of hell. Those of us that have bowed our knee to Christ, who surrendered our lives to Him, we have become His bride. We're part of His church. He's making something beautiful. He's not throwing you away like a piece of bad art. But you're an infinitely costly restoration project. You're being restored and made beautiful. And when God looks at you as His child, He sees His Son. And He is so pleased. He loves you. Romans 6:5 says, "For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His." This is a fact. And this is true every step of our salvation. Our union with Christ in His resurrection ensures three things. It ensures our justification. That's a fancy word that means He declares us just before God. You're right. You are okay. You are free. Our union with Christ in His resurrection, secondly, ensures our sanctification. That means that He makes us progressively holy. He's making us more and more and more like Himself. And thirdly, our union with Christ in His resurrection ensures our glorification. That means that we will be made like Him when we see Him. One day, all will be right. Because Jesus rose from the dead. One of the significances of the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that He is making a new heaven and a new earth. He is making everything new. He is going to restore everything that was lost. And it will be a bazillion times better than the most incredibly good thing you can imagine. Try to imagine the best, most beautiful, most incredible experience and it's no good. This is the future hope of the believer. the reality of the new heaven and the new earth, the joy and the wholeness and the health and the newness that will come. All the tears will be gone. All the suffering and the death and the disease, that's all gone. It's all wiped out. The power of the resurrected Christ will take over everything. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Everything is going to be made better. Everything is going to be made right. There will be a final restoration. The world and our hearts are broken now. But Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was an infinitely costly rescue operation to redeem and restore the brokenness and make all things new. And that starts the moment you enter into life with Christ, and it continues until you see Him face to face. So we celebrate. We are filled with joy this morning because Christ has risen. And even when we travel through dark times, our eyes are fixed on Christ. We still grieve. We still go through hard things. But we know the end of the story. Our hope is in Christ now and in the future. And after we surrender our lives to Christ, we repent of our sins, we put our faith and trust in Him alone for our salvation. We're laboring to honor Christ with our lives, not to earn our salvation, but because we have been infinitely loved, and through a heart of gratitude and expectation of a perfect world, which Revelation says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things is passed away. And one day when we get home to our true home, when we get there, we'll say, I've come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it. And it will by no means be the end of our story. In fact, as C.S. Lewis again put it, all the adventures we have ever had will end up being only the cover and the title page. Finally, we will begin chapter 1 of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. Has it changed you? Have you surrendered to His love? If you have, celebrate. And if you haven't, today you can, and join in the celebration. You can leave death and come to life. You can leave darkness and come to light. He has risen. And because He has risen, that changes everything. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have risen and You've changed everything. We thank You for the reality of Your death, Your burial, and Your resurrection. Thank You that You are alive, and we celebrate You today. We thank You for the work that You've done in our lives. We love You, Jesus. Amen.